Hello and welcome to Emerge, Evolve, Lead, a podcast for people in recovery from addiction who want to be better leaders. I got clean and sober when I was 24, and then I started my corporate career. After several decades, I left that job and created Emerge Leadership Academy, where I train leaders and coach people in recovery who are ready to step up in their career. My name is Maureen Ross-Jem, and I'll be your host. My guest today is Todd Nyholm, author of the book, Ah, Brain, Why Do You Trouble Me So Much? Todd is a somatic practitioner, and he works with your body and mind to help with the healing process. He's overcome a lot of adversity in childhood, and as an adult, he had to overcome serious health problems to repair his immune system. I believe his methods can help you too. Hi, Todd. How are you doing? Welcome to the Emerge, Evolve, Lead podcast, and I'm really glad to have you on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you and share some ideas with you.
Yeah, you have some really good ideas. I just am reading your book. I'm more than halfway through, and I'm just absolutely delighted to have you on to share some of your techniques and your story and some other very interesting things with our audience, and to let everybody know, well, Todd is not in recovery from drugs and alcoholism per se, but he is in recovery, and he has experienced a lot in life, and we're going to dive deeper into that. But first, tell us, please, who are you? Like, do you have a family, hobbies, and what do you do for work? That sort of thing.
So yeah, now I'm a somatic therapist, and I do this work by myself in the clinic. And somatic refers to the body, and we started using that as a catch-all term because we do so many different types of work with different names that no one knows, like visceral manipulation and cranial sacral therapy and acupressure and shiatsu and a bunch of other things. So that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, is working directly in the clinic with people, which if you saw me do it, I'm working on their body. So they're laying on a table and we're talking and working through things, and I'm trying to share ideas with them. I live alone in a log cabin, me and my dog, and I got like 5 acres, and I just live a little bit of north of town in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So
Oh, you're out in the country. I went on a motorcycle adventure there a few years back with my husband, and it is beautiful, beautiful country. So that's amazing that you live out there. And when you say, are you a doctor, Todd? Tell us a little bit more about this work that you do. You said some big words there.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a therapist. It's sort of outside the normal way that people get to things. I think it's a little closer to the combination of physical therapy and acupressure and working with the mind in some interesting ways. And so it's an interesting intersection. And because I like to study and help people, if I can find a work that some doctor is doing in France that helps people and he'll teach me how to do it, I'll go do that. And so sometimes they have interesting names because those doctors put them together, like, okay, we'll call this lymph drainage therapy, you know? And so it's just usually describes what we do with it. And so I know I use 6 or 7 different therapies to get to that.
So it's all about, though, healing the body, healing the mind, getting into alignment with who you really are. Was that a safe description?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And it's very much what I'm interested in, helping people get there. So,
you know, I'm going to ask about your story, but I'm going to share just briefly this quick story about my husband, who was in a yoga class one time, and he had a sister who was dying, my sister-in-law, and she knew she was dying, and she was very conscious about it. She was had been a Buddhist nun for many years, and now was a therapist in helping people with trauma. And as she was going through all of her, you know, her own dying and planning her death, actually was talking openly about it all the time, asked him, because she wanted to have a green burial, asked him if he would build her casket, which took his breath away. And he realized after about 3 or 4 months that he was not starting to build it because he was afraid that once he had it done that she was going to die, you know, that she was going to be ready to go. And it finally came out in a somatic class, a yoga class one time. And that's what they called it. And he had this experience where, I don't know, they were doing some chest opening exercises and he started to weep and his whole body just just like, I don't know, just I can't explain it because I wasn't there, but he did write a story about it that got published in a book, that he just was able to grieve in a way. But it was this particular therapy or this yoga class that allowed him the impetus to get it all out of his body, and he didn't even realize he had been holding it in there for so long. So yeah, so I want to hear about your transformation. Why did you get into this work to begin with? What happened to you? And what was your experience, and how did you get into your transformation?
Yeah, so I think there's two big impetus that are kind of interesting, and at least interesting for the story. They're kind of traumatic, you know, as you hear more about it. The first one that's kind of obvious is when I was younger, there was a crazy serial killer guy who really had great interest in me, and in kind of ugly ways, as you might imagine. And so I got stuck with him quite often. He worked at the school, was into Boy Scouts, everywhere he could get around people and kids. And he was super manipulative, particularly with me. And he'd be like, if you say anything about this to anyone, I'll kill your whole family. And I have no doubt in my mind at all that he would have done that had I said anything at the time. So that was quite a trauma to begin with. And the other big thing is I had some serious health problems that took me decades to figure out what they were. And I went through 50 or 60 doctors and eventually found a doctor about 4 years ago. And he goes, okay, I think I know what happened, and ran me through a whole battery of tests, and had to do with tick infections, like Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever and trench fever and cat scratch fever. And once your immune system is impaired, it makes it like parasites able to get into you and all kinds of different things. So by the time I found him, I had something like 14 infections in my body.
Oh my.
And right before I met him, I had a surgery that got infected. So I had a couple more on top of it, and those were basically killing me. And so I really had to get serious in a different way. But all those years, I was trying to figure out how to heal myself, because I knew something was wrong, and I knew it wasn't just genetics, and I had to figure it out kind of on my own. So I would read anything I could find. I'd be up at 3 a.m. trying to figure out how Ayurvedic doctors in India healed the liver or whatever, because I might find something that would help. And over time I did. I found many, many things that I think kept me alive until I could get more help. And so those two things together, they really drove me in directions that I think few other people get driven into. So I'm almost obsessed with answering some of those questions about how to transform yourself and make your health better.
Wow. And so when you escaped this serial killer and were able to survive, that was when you were a child, you were young, you were like a teenager, or?
So it would have been like before I was a teenager, and then early into my teenage years, like 12, okay.
Yep.
That kind of, yeah.
Yuck. And so then you survived that, and you got into adulthood. And then did you get into therapy right away? Did you start at least healing your trauma from that experience? Or did these other things start affecting you, these infections in your body? Did they come in before you had even had those, some healing from your first trauma?
Yeah, so all that was overlapped, and it took me a long time to piece it out and like ferret it out. And with that guy I knew, it was almost like a horror movie when people don't want to mention the name. They don't want to be anywhere near the idea. It was like that in my mind. I'm like, if I don't look at it, if I don't go there very much, I'll have a better chance of getting through this. And so I think I basically just created a little room in my mind and walled it off so that I didn't have to think about it too much. And years later, I found a wonderful therapist who had trained to find people like that. And I spent a couple of years working with her, working through all that, which is very helpful, just talking through it with someone who knew a ton about it. And another interesting thing about her is she was just brilliant, like very, very fast, very much like this guy was. It was like super intelligent people, you know. And so walking through it with her, she was very good at showing me the manipulation and how he planted seeds in my mind and those kinds of things, and then working me back through it. And we had a lot of conversations about the mind-body connection, because she knew what I did. And so we could really meet in that level, and which is an interesting thing to talk about with trauma, is how much of it gets rooted in your body and then finding ways to get it out. So sometimes if you're confused about how it all fits together, your body will tell you, it kind of keeps the score, and you can walk your way back through that. So I think my mind was really on, how do I get these infections to stop killing me first, though? And I didn't know what they were. And, it, you know, and once I did, I was like, okay, it's like this enemy in the back of my mind that I didn't know was there. So I was fighting wars on two fronts. It took me a little while to figure that one out.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. So how did it all unfold and manifest? Like, did it take you 10 years, or was it more like, I don't know, you said you saw over 50 doctors? What That's crazy.
Well, I was sick when I was young, so I think I got those infections when I was 4 or 5 or
Oh.
something. So that all is happening at the same time. And my mom was trying to help me, and she was taking me to different doctors and
I
nurses. And
see.
so I would talk to them for a little while, and I figured out at some point they didn't know the answer, you know, and they would just say, well, you're just gonna have to live with it, or it's just genetics, or you're just nervous, or just live on Pepto-Bismol, or just live on ibuprofen, those kinds of things. And I'm like, I need an answer. I need to figure this one out. And so I needed to go further. And at that time, they didn't have the answers. There were a lot of things that they didn't know about those tick-borne infections that they're still figuring out today.
Right. I have a good friend who has that, and boy, it's difficult and to figure out exactly what you should be putting into your body as far as food and what things exacerbate it and all of that. So, how as you got into then your, it sounds like your adult life and you continued to thank God for your persistence, right? I want to heal myself. And that's kind of what happens to us when we first get sober. Well, we realize that we're running away from trauma and we're anesthetizing ourselves for just so, so long until we can't stand it anymore, until we realize that we have this disease of addiction and we can't live without it and we can't live with it. We have to give it up. So when you come to that precipice, you really do have to surrender everything. You have to let go of all of your beliefs about it, everything, right? And just completely sort of turn your will and your life over to whatever you think is your higher power. And some people don't believe in a higher power at all. And so how do they get into it, right? Well, the first thing is to release, let go, and also know that the people in the rooms, we have a 12-step program, and they help a lot to share their experience, strength, and hope. So I know that once you figured out the solution and you start sharing your experience, strength, and hope, especially through these books, which I'm going to ask you to share in a minute about, is such a fantastic way to really help people that are in the same situation, right? That have been through that same kind of trauma. So, Todd, please tell us about the two books that you wrote and why you wrote them and who they help.
Sure. So I have a whole series of books planned, and those are the first two, and I've already written the third one. I just need to work through this one, and then I'll get that one edited and work through it. But I figured if I was going to go through hell, then I was going to mine it for everything I could, and then try to share that with people who might be like me, or who anyone that could learn something from it. And so I set up a whole series of methods to kind of change everything about myself, and then my clients and people I was working with. And I was like, well, how do I share this in a bigger, more scalable way? And so the books came about, and the first book has to do with food, and it's called Off Food: Why Do You Trouble Me So Much? And the title still makes me laugh, you know, because it took me years to figure out I had a whole series of gut parasites, and I tried every diet you could imagine. And so eventually it was like, well, I'm gonna have to come at this a different way. So I kind of made a diet that worked sort of mentally and emotionally from the inside out, and that worked great, and I lost 60 pounds, and it taught me a lot about what foods my body needed and what it didn't, and it helped me get through the infections when I was going through the treatment. So, and books were a great thing I could do, because when I was really sick, I could barely get out of bed. So I was in bed writing the books and typing on my phone. And I wrote that whole book on my phone because I didn't have a computer at the time. And so it was interesting.
Wow,
And
you wrote a book on your phone.
I did. Yeah. And I'm really fast now. If you saw me with a phone, I could whip things out,
Those
because
thumbs are going like crazy.
it was what I had and what I had access to. And it had a cracked screen, and it was quite an experience to go through that.
That's an inspiration because when you have that in you and you just know you have to get it out to help other people, no matter what it takes, and it sounds like you're one of those people. So, yeah, go ahead.
You bet. And then the second book is a big picture book. And so I had a bunch of methods I wanted to teach people, and I needed to find a way to talk in big scale about it. And so it's Brain, Why Do You Trouble Me So Much? And you can see the theme and how I'm naming them. But it's a much bigger picture book to figure out how to change your inner world and kind of bring that out into your external world and sort of reprogram yourself over time. That one I wrote early too, along with the food book, when I was really sick and I wasn't entirely sure I was going to survive all the infections I had at that point. So it was kind of my attempt to get as much out as I could that might be helpful for other people that I'd pieced together. And it turns out all those things kind of saved my life, along with the help of my doctor and acupuncturist. So that team was very helpful of getting me through it. But all the things I put in the book are things I use, and I use it at the clinic when I'm helping people. And I want to build people up. So I want to share as much of that as I can. And so I have a lot to share, and I'm just kind of getting started with all that.
So do you have your own clinic, or do you work for somebody else's place of business?
So I work in the same office as an acupuncturist.
Okay.
And I met him when I was 18 or 19 through martial arts, because I got into martial arts because they had all these methods of working with your health and strength. And so I was training with him a little bit, and then I found out he was an acupuncturist, and we got to talking. And so I've seen him for years. And then years later, when I went back to school and he found out I'd become a Rolfer, he was like, well, maybe you can come work with me at the clinic. And that's the term he used, clinic. I'm not sure what I would have called it if I didn't start working with him. But the two of us, we were just working in the same office and share rooms and help each other out, or with our clients, however we can help go that way. So
that's pretty deep. And there's so many different healing modalities out there. I myself studied Reiki. I'm a Reiki master. Just that laying on of hands. And sometimes, especially if people are pregnant, I can feel that energy. I mean, before they even told me they were pregnant. And it's been a really interesting journey. Although I don't use it on, I don't practice so much on others except for my family. I have grandchildren too, and also on myself a lot. But it's been really helpful, even just that. And so I'm wondering if you, do you feel like you had to heal your body first before you started healing your mind, or was it the other way around, or did it happen concurrently?
Yeah, I would say definitely concurrently, because I was trying to figure out the problems and I had so many things going on. And so I was kind of driven into looking at everything I could. So what's my mind doing? What are my emotions doing? What's my body doing? What kind of spiritual aspect is going on here? What's energetically going on? And so even when I was 7 or 8, I was sitting in the backyard meditating, and I didn't know what it was called at the time. And later on, when I mentioned it to people, they're like, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. You know, it actually kind of set me back a little bit. All these people telling me that you can't source some of that stuff inside you. So, yeah, any way I could find to help myself feel better, I was going to track it down. I was sitting in the library at 9 or 10, 11, you know, trying to get answers. And there's a librarian there that helped me and passed on some really interesting books.
That's so the journey has been interesting. You. That's probably what really helped you to survive, right? Is you had that innate sort of sense. And I wonder sometimes, like, why the universe gives us these horrible, you know, difficult experiences to go through. And it was probably, I mean, I'm just, you know, thinking about yours, and I don't mean to like project, but I think sometimes it's because so that you could use all those tools that you've been learning about, you know, like, how do I heal myself? How do I heal other people? So that you could be the incredible healer that you are today. Do you consider yourself a healer?
Certainly that's a function I do. I guess I tend to shy away from the term. I'm not sure why, but certainly I help people do that. And I've thought extensively, like, why did all these things happen to me and in this way, you know? And I certainly see purpose behind it, and function and guidance and help out of situations and all kinds of places where things could have been so much worse. And I couldn't have been here like 150 different times, but somehow I knew what to do at the right moment at the right place. And so I'm still here today. So I see a lot of things happening that I'm not sure anything happens randomly after my own experiences, right. You know, so.
Right. And what you said was, I realized as I'm going through hell that I'm going to mine it for all it's worth. And I think that that's what we, you know, in recovery alcoholics, we've been through hell too, and we don't want to go back there ever. And so there's a lot of people, though, unfortunately, they do relapse and they do go back there. And I don't get it, because that wasn't my path. You know, I chose not to do that. And I've been sober 36 years, you know, coming up on 37. And I can't imagine ever going back to something like that, like, or even smoking cigarettes or any of those kinds of things. But I am also a sugar addict. And I go back, I get off of it for a little while, and I go back to it, and I find that so, so difficult. So what would you say to somebody who is struggling with either a food addiction or any kind of an addiction, on how to stay away from it? How did you reprogram yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a big question, and we look for kind of easy answers. And
yes, we do. So could you please provide one?
I think one of the best things to acknowledge is that there's a lot of things driving what you're doing. So your body is. So there's chemistry things going on. your mind is, and there's mental programming that you're working through, and your emotions are moving you, and sometimes they make sense and sometimes they don't. And so there's all these different things that are pushing you in different directions. And so sometimes you think, oh, I failed in this because this happened, when it's actually your body is having a sugar craving because you have an adrenal problem, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm using sugar to do this. And so you think, oh, my willpower broke, but willpower is always going to break. You have to stack all those things together, because willpower at some point will run out. And so working with your body, working with your mind, working with your emotions, working with your energies and spirit, I think you got to start to put all those things together, and then they'll support each other. And then as your body gets healthier, your emotions will calm down, because sometimes your body's having a hard time and you become really angry because there's something going on in your body. And then you attribute it to something outside yourself. And you're like, you're already a little angry. Someone cuts you off and you're like, you SOB, you did X, Y, and Z to me. And you're angry for a week, and you were angry first, and then the thing triggered it.
And so I think
all those things come together, and you have to go back as far as you can to, like, when you were young and the programming you got. So maybe your family taught you to be angry. You think, this is the way I handle the world. And so you got to break down that and say, oh, I remember my dad saying when I was four, X, Y, and Z, and that makes me think that's true now. And once you see it, it'll start to break down. And then you can work all those things together in order to build a more sustainable thing. And it's not necessarily the random that you fall off at certain times. And if you can figure out what the triggers are, you can unwind it a little bit.
Yeah, there's always triggers, right? But we also, I say a lot of times to people, even in my leadership training, if somebody comes at you and pushes your button, it's sort of like Wayne Dyer used to describe it as, you know, if you have an orange and you squeeze that orange, what are you going to get? Orange juice. Right. And so did you make the orange juice? No, that was already in the orange. So somebody pushes your button or squeezes you and anger comes out. Did they make you angry? It's like, no, that anger was already in there. And so what I learned was to really feel that, if not at work, or, you know, I learned to put a lid on it when it was appropriate so that I could respond instead of react. But then later, going back in meditation or in the hot tub or somewhere where I'm calm and by myself, to relive it and feel it as much as I possibly could, which would then transmute it in my body. So I didn't have to hold on to it. And the more that I did that, the less people could trigger me. And it takes a lot now to trigger me, but I'm just not that triggered anymore, because plus I understand the higher purpose. So if something does come to trigger me, I don't blame that person, place, or thing for what triggered me. It's more like, oh, what higher self? Why did you put this in my life? So I need to learn this lesson, or I need to think about it this way. So did you have, you must have had, obviously, a lot of trauma in your body. Can you share, like, for, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who still have trauma in their body from stuff they either didn't allow themselves to feel, or they decided that's BS, that's in the past. I don't need to deal with that anymore. It's over and done with, but it's still kind of stuck in there. What advice would you have for them?
Well, I would have probably two pieces of advice to give them. If they're around a therapist who can work through their body to help them heal, and Rolfing is great at that, visceral manipulation, and there's practitioners out there, there's not a ton of them. So you may live somewhere where there's not many. So I live in Wyoming and there's only two of us. So if I wanted to see someone who did some of the things, I'd have to go into Colorado. And for some of the things, I'd have to go to New Mexico. And so you might look around, that might be an option. But you can also do a lot of that work on yourself. And the first suggestion I would have for that is to take part of your attention during the day and keep it in your body, in your mind, and in your emotions, and kind of watch. Don't be judgmental. Don't think much about it. Just take like a year and just watch, and you'll see all these little things come out of that. And so, like, if I'm talking to you, I'm also paying attention to what my body's doing with part of my attention. And I'm also watching my mind and my emotions. And over time, that will transform all kinds of things. And I'm not sure I could give you a better practice for healing yourself than that one. Don't start that when you're driving or something. Figure it out, you know, not when you're doing anything crazy like that. When you're alone at first, or you're hanging out with your dog, and you'll see that your dog lifts you up if you like dogs, or sunrises, and you'll start to see which things push you in this way and that way. And it starts to remove the triggers because you see them. And as you do that longer, the triggers kind of disappear and you become a different kind of person. You know?
Just by observing, just by watching, That's pretty amazing. It is a transformation, but it's about being more conscious, not only what you're thinking, but what you're feeling and what's happening in your body. I love it. Great advice. So, I have really enjoyed our chat here today. I want to ask you though, what is your self-care process? What is it that you do for self-care for yourself, and what things should we include in our own practices?
Yeah, and this is interesting because I have hundreds of methods at this point that I interchange from myself
Oh,
that
you
I've put
do?
together.
Okay.
And yeah, and I'm starting to teach those in different ways. I, in fact, just last week started teaching some of the more interesting ones. I'm trying to figure out how to get them to people in terms of integrating your mind and your emotions, your body and your energies. And so there's a bunch of cool practices you can do. But when I get up, I do some meditations, and they're the same ones I did when I was like 8, although I've expanded on them as I've learned more things. I do that practice of attention I was mentioning, where I'm always splitting and I'm always practicing that. I do a fair amount of acupressure on myself during the days. I'm real careful about how I eat, which is that process I put in the first book, so that food can build you up rather than break you down. I'm real conscious about sleep. I don't think sleep is somewhere to skimp, and people make a lot of mistakes when they're tired, particularly if they're trying to use their willpower to push something away. And so sleep and sleep on a schedule is extremely helpful, and it helps your neurotransmitters even out, and it helps your body know when to eat and when not to, and those kinds of things. So I think those are all great places to start,
Those are
self-care.
really, super important. I love it because even as leaders and as we're going out in the world and we're helping and being there for other people all the time, whether we're a parent or helping in the community or whatever, we have got to have that rest for ourselves, feed ourselves, and exercise. You didn't say that one, but I'm sure you probably do that. Do you do that?
Oh yeah, and in lots of different ways. And I think there's lots of cool exercises out there that you can transform yourself with too.
Yeah, of course. And so if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or buy your books, how would they find you?
So I have a website which is nitality.com. And so originally when I set this up, I called the method the Nyhome Vital Life method, which was just my last name and then Vital Life. And one of my editors was like, "That's way too long, man. You got to shorten it." And so that eventually became Nitality method, which is just the NY from my last name merged with the word vitality. So NYTALITY.com. And you can find most of the stuff that I'm doing there. Both books are linked, and podcast interviews like this one will be up there. And I started a YouTube channel so I can kind of teach some more things. And
Oh,
I'm trying
good.
to reach people as many ways as I can as I build this out.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it sounds like you're quite the teacher now too, which is really important. And if you can get that, you could start probably helping people become practitioners too. That's a hell of another way to expand on your business. So, Todd, it's been great sharing with you, and thank you so much for coming on today and sharing how we can help heal ourselves many more levels deeper by becoming more conscious, by taking much better care of ourselves, and reading your books. Because I'm telling you, I can't wait to finish this. It's just so in alignment with everything I teach and who I am, but it says it in a different way that affirms that I'm on the right track. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks for having me. I really love talking about this. It's my favorite subject in the world, so.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. You can visit us at emergeleadershipacademy.com to take the quiz to find out what animal best represents your leadership style. And until next week, remember, you have so many leadership skills that you learned in recovery. Stop hiding because your contribution matters.